future in directing your thoughts to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 60, reading the second part of the fourth verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 60, reading the second part of the fourth verse. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Isaiah chapter 60, the second part of verse 4. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Must first of all remember that this word is prophetic, as spoken by the prophet Isaiah concerning the Lord's mercy and divine favor as it would be made known to the Gentiles. And yet at the same time, may the Lord help us to remember that we are among the Gentiles. And as we come to the Word of God this morning, that might be favored with the divine influence and power of the Holy Ghost, we may be favored to see whether we know something of such truth as this in a personal way. We must also seek to make this clear, that the sons and daughters that are spoken of in this word are the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. However much God may favor his church with converts, with sons and daughters, we must remember that they belong to Christ. They only belong to us as the Lord may use us in conveying his word. And yet what a wonderful thing it is when Zion is blessed with converts and blessed with spiritual children, but they belong to Christ. And it is in this way that we would now seek to speak from this word. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. The first thought is concerning the sacred consummation of such truth as this, and that to my heart is so beautifully contained in this word as found in the seventh chapter of the Revelation. Sacred vision that was given to the Apostle John. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This is indeed a great subject. It is beyond our finite comprehension. And yet, I believe that in heaven at last, everyone for whom Christ has died, everyone given to him by God the Father in the councils of eternity before the foundation of the world will be brought to heaven and there to dwell eternally. And dear friends, we need, at least I feel that we need to be reminded of this, God's sovereignty in his electing love and mercy, as it has been conveyed to sinners throughout the world and will be, and not a hoof shall be left behind. Not one for whom Christ has died can perish eternally, but they must and will be born again. And then another foundation truth concerning the electing love of God to sinners is indeed made so clear in the 17th chapter of John. The sacred union that there is betwixt Christ and his church, Christ and his people. And dear friends, this is an eternal union. Let us not forget this, that the union between Christ and his people was commenced before the foundation of the world. We have a hymn that is so expressive, and it's this: in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints, and saints are sinners saved by grace. But it says, the saints from everlasting were, and shall forever be. This sacred union betwixt God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and the whole election of grace. And this is an eternal union. It is made known in this life. Free election known by calling, 'tis a privilege divine. But again, I repeat it. The union that there is between Christ and every one of his dear people is an eternal union. It commenced before the foundation of this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his wondrous prayer contained in John 17, he tells us what this union is, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. May we think of this in union with the Lamb, from before the foundation of the world, and this as it is made known by effectual calling, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit to the hearts of sinners, that they are among this people, loved with an everlasting love. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. I hope that the Lord has helped me then to make this clear. And then we come to the subject itself. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. It is true to say that everyone born into this world is born in sin, without exception. All born into this world are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. That means, of course, through the Adam fall. And as sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and that death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. There are many people who do not believe. Indeed, we cannot believe only as a grace is given. But how many people are saying still today that there is no God? I was only speaking to a man quite recently who very evidently does not believe in God or that there is a God. And yet I've thought since what an evidence that there is a God, even in this one truth that all must die. What an evidence that there is a God who rules and reigns in all things, both in heaven and in earth. Even in this, that we must all die and be as water spilt upon the ground. And dear friends, not one of us here will be able to escape death. I repeat it, not one of us here will be able to escape death. We do need grace to consider this oft-repeated word. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. What are the credentials? They are contained in this, is Jesus' blood. Thine only plea is he thy great forerunner there. I go to prepare a place for you. Those precious words spoken by Jesus to his disciples, oh, that they might be spoken to us today. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now this wondrous truth, then, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. As I have said, every one of us born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Every one of us, as we are born into this world, are dead. That is, spiritually dead. How then can such truth as this be fulfilled? It can only be fulfilled through the eternal, everlasting love of God to sinners. And yet it has been fulfilled, and it will yet be fulfilled, until everyone for whom Christ has died shall be gathered in eternally into the heavenly garden. Now the Lord helped me to make this thought clear. There are those who are permitted to leave the house of God and the ways of God. There are those that are closely connected with us here who have left the house of God. We think of those that were brought up to attend the house of God. We think of the many that have passed through our Sunday school here, and many there have been. There are those upon our heart today who have left the house of God and the ways of God, and who have turned their back upon God, and who have taken up so feelingly, and yet perhaps they do not really understand even this, that the very spirit that is theirs by nature, fallen nature, is contained in these words: we will not have this man to reign over us. There are those that are indeed in a far country. They are living their life as is pleasing to them. They are desecrating the Lord's day. They have no concern regarding this, although we do hope that the Lord has not left them without pricking thorns to hedge their way. We hope the Lord has not and does not leave them without pricks of conscience. And as we think like this at this very moment, we inwardly pray that God would put forth his hand today, and that he might indeed cause sinners to be aware that they are sinners. But I would also seek to make this clear. For those of you here who have never left the house of God, you were brought here, as the case is, or wherever it might have been, and of course there may be those that were not favoured in this, but I'm sure that many here were brought or taken into the house of God from their earliest days. How many parents have taken their children for the first time into the house of God, and they presented them before the Lord? And so I'm sure there are those here, I know there are, never been permitted to leave the house of God. That is, you have continued to come. Many years may have passed over you, and yet we must seek to make this truth clear, that whether we were permitted to go indeed into a far country, to go away from the truth, the ways of God, the Lord's day, and his house, or whether we have never left it, we all stand on the same level in this. But in the sight of God we are sinners, and in the sight of God we are no different from those that have gone away. How the Lord helped me then to speak of this, the wonder of it: thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. I felt that it would be right to say this, that so often sons tend to go away or to go further away than daughters. Now, it's not always the case, but it's often been so. And yet, as I said a moment ago, whether we have left the ways of God altogether, or whether we are still found in the ways of God, the truth remains that in ourselves we are sinners in the sight of God. And only the grace of God can change our hearts, renew our wills, and turn our feet to Zion's hills. But the wonder is that through sovereign grace alone, this is accomplished. Well, may the Lord bless his word, even in this, to those that are here, to those of us here that do have sons and daughters that have gone away from the house of God altogether, and from those that may be found in a dead profession. And the Lord knows where these are. And that, in one sense, is an even more solemn thing, to be dead in a profession, to be as the foolish virgin, not to possess oil in our vessels with our lamps. But, oh, that the Holy Ghost would help me to convey just a little of this wondrous truth: thy son shall come from far. Only the Holy Ghost can convey this into burdened, trembling hearts here this morning. I remember the late Mr. Laver of Rotherfield, who at times would raise his voice in preaching. But on one occasion, in speaking of the shells of Jehovah and the sacred truth that this contains, he said this concerning those that must come, that will come, that will be brought again like the prodigal to return to their father's house. And he raised his voice and he said, S-H-A-L-L. And I would seek with the Lord's help to convey this to you this morning, and the Lord knows what it may mean. But dear friends, it's this: thy sons shall come from far. And the Lord knows where they are. The Lord knows where there are those like the prodigal who have left their father's house and are in a far country and are living their life as it is pleasing to them, Galileo-like, caring for none of these things. And yet, if we know something of this truth in our own heart, we have need to say this morning, and such were some of you. Indeed, it's true of us all, because there's no difference. What I mean is this: we can attend the house of God all our days and yet be destitute of God's grace. And that is a solemn consideration. But oh, the sacred work of God in the hearts of sinners. First then, it's this: thy son shall come from far. The Lord knows where they are today. The Lord knows what they are doing this morning. The Lord knows what they purpose to do today. The Lord knows exactly what's going on in their hearts and lives. And yet, may we consider this, that none can go beyond the limits of his love, because they are fenced with Jehovah's shells and wills firm as the everlasting hill, and not a hill shall be left behind. It matters not how far off they may go, but dear friends, when the Lord touches their heart, they will be just like the prodigal. What have we read concerning the prodigal son? And I feel I must just turn to it again for a moment or two. But there we have a description of a prodigal, one who has left his father's house. Where do we find him? We find him here. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. What a far country is the country of sin. What a far country is the country of this world. And this is where we all are by nature, apart from sovereign grace or sin abounding. And this is where the prodigal, or in this parable, we must remember that it is a parable, as the Lord Jesus would lay truth side by side to make it stand out, to bring it home upon the hearts of his hearers. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, the Lord knows where there are sons and daughters that are not in such a case. That is, I mean, wasting their substance with riotous living. But nevertheless, they're still in a far country. They're still dead in trespasses and in sin. They are still seeking the pleasures of this life only. They are still found, as before God, in great need. But what do we read about this prodigal son? We read this, and when he had spent all. Our hope then concerning the prodigal sons and daughters is this, that they may come here. We do indeed thank our God for those that have been brought here. And we do not know where there are those that, as it were, are being brought here. And when he had spent all. You see, all that he had was now gone. He'd spent it. And this, as the parable speaks of it, it brought him into very great need. And of course we have the same teaching in the Word of God concerning the dear woman who had the affliction that she did for 12 years. And what are we told about her? That she spent her living on many physicians, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, this is really what we might say concerning these prodigal sons and daughters. And then we find him in this, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And friends, how many prodigal sons and daughters have joined themselves to a citizen of this country? What I mean, the difference between those that are brought up under the sound of truth and those that are not. And that those that leave the ways of God and they join themselves to one or another in their life. And apart from God's grace, what happens to them? They're dragged down. Oh, how many have been dragged down, as it were, by a citizen of this country, the devil's country. Where did it bring him? And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. This is just what happens to these souls that as they go on in their sin. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You see, these prodigal sons and daughters, they will come, if the Lord has mercy upon them, they will come into this, and no man gave unto them. Oh, how many people, as they've gone out into the world and mixed with the world and had their ungodly companions, as they themselves have been ungodly, and they've joined with them, and yet when the Lord touches their heart and they are brought, as it were, to the feet of Jesus, or are brought, as it were, to tremble under the God's holy law and begin to tremble in God's sight, and what do they find? That these companions can do nothing to help, because they do not know what to do. They do not know what to say. Well, the Lord knows where there are such. And yet, think of it. The text this morning is, thy son shall come from far, wherever they may be today. If the Lord should touch their hearts, and I hope that he will this very day, and then it will bring them again into the condition of the prodigal. And when he came to himself, when light began to shine into his soul, and when he came to himself, but then there's something else that what we need to make clear, and it is this: he began to be in want. He began to be in want. He came to himself. Now these prodigal sons and daughters, and the Lord knows where they are, but if the Lord touches their heart, and if through his mercy he's going to bring them again into their father's house, they will come here. He began to be in want. And what happens? And of course, in measure, the same truth happens to those that have never left the house of God. But as they are quickened into life, they begin to be in want. They begin to be in want, feelingly so, as sinners, needing mercy. And as they begin to feel their need of God, as they begin to feel their need of a Saviour, thy son shall come from far. Oh, I hope that the Holy Ghost will convey this word into hearts that are here. Those that are burdened for their sons or daughters, those that may be burdened for others, and those of you here that may have, as it were, children of promise, and yet there they are at the present time. They're in the world and of it. They're swallowed up with these things. And yet when the Lord comes, every one of them will be quickened into life. Every one of them will be born again. And like the prodigal, they will begin to be in want. They will come to themselves. And they will begin to be aware of their need as sinners in the sight of God. And then, dear friends, they will be very glad to return to the house of God. And I can tell you how they'll come. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. Oh, how thankful we are for the account that we have here concerning the prodigal son. Because he had to return. This is the part of the subject that is with me this morning. Thy son shall come from far. What a thought that is. And yet those that are even today are as far from God as sheep can run. We just think of Manasseh here, as we had to speak about him in more recent days. He had a godly father. He was brought up by a godly father. He was a child of promise, a very favored son. And yet he went deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. But because the Lord had a purpose of love and mercy to Manasseh, he could not go beyond the limits of God's love. And the day came, he had to be taken into captivity. And there we read in thorns, and the Lord touched his heart. And he was brought as a sinner to repentance. And I can tell you this, dear friends, that when Manasseh returned to Jerusalem, he returned a completely changed man. He was completely changed. The things that he hated, now he began to love. It's just like that with these souls. And none of them are beyond the power of God. Then before I close, it is with me just to try at least to speak of the daughters. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. There's something very wonderful in this. I am aware that there are daughters as well as sons who go into a far country, who go away from the house of God altogether. But I just think this morning of those that have never left the house of God. You've never left it. And yet have you been brought to see and to understand that it's entirely through the sovereign grace of God. And you would have to say that you're no different to the prodigal son in this, that in your heart you've been in a far country and in your life. And yet this word says, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Well, to my own heart, there's something very wonderful in this. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And dear friends, they will be quickened into life. They need it just as much as the prodigal son. They need this quickening power. And the Lord knows where it has taken place. Those of you that have never left God's house, through his mercy this is so. You may have wished that you had, in a sense, that your beginning might be made more clear to you. But friends, you will have been taught something of this, that you in yourself are a fallen, lost sinner. And yet as the Lord had mercy upon you, as he brought you to his dear feet, as you had to come with weeping and with supplication, thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Oh, they need this nursing. They need this nursing. And yet, what is the office of a nurse? Well, a nurse, as they take responsibility of children, they take responsibility to care for, to look after them, to love them, and all that that means. Well, may the Lord fulfill his word. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. May the Lord fulfill it. Amen.
With hymn 76. There is a period known to God when when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn 76.
thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. We remember that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, could say that he was gentle as a nurse among them. Oh, but Lord, thou knowest. We ask that thou wilt bless thy word. We ask that thou wilt grant much prayer concerning the service this evening. Lord, it has been said to us this morning by one of our friends, not here, the desire that it might be a special day. Oh, that it might be, Lord, a day of blessing. We ask that thou wilt help our superintendent and our teachers in our Sunday school this afternoon. Help them, Lord, to sow the seed of thy word, and thou hast promised to bless it. Do be with us, Lord, as we return to our home. May our conversation be seasoned with salt. Oh, that there might be those that will be able even today to tell what the Lord has done for us. Oh, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God with the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.